by human hands. You're not a god to men, and any mortal man. You're not a god in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You're not a god created by human hands. You're not a god to men,
any mortal man.
You're not a god in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is.
You're the only god whose power none can contend. You're the only god whose name and praise will never end.
You're the only god who's worthy of everything we can give.
You are a god, that's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. Times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone, unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. That's what you are. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable. That's what you are.
Good morning. Kermit and I will be filling in for Pastor Steve today. He's attending his brother-in-law's funeral. Let us stand and sing the gathering song.
You open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
I want to see you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Be seated. Let us pray. Direct us, O Lord God, in all our doings with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. First lesson this morning is from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down before other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is from the first chapter of Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God, because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me, so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident in your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. The word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned to say to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross, follow me, cannot be my disciple.
For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first set down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and he is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, "This fellow beginning to build was not able to finish." Or what king goes to war and to wage a war against another king will not sit down first and consider if he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who is against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you not give up all your possessions. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for this opportunity to be here to bring God's Word to you today. And I ask if you would keep me in your thoughts and prayers as I'm trying to deliver the Word. Now let us pray. Lord, I pray that the words from my mouth and the meditation of each and every heart will be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In the Gospel today, Jesus tells us two parables that have puzzled many people through the years. If you think about it, that's exactly what a parable is supposed to do. They're supposed to make you think, make you ponder and wonder exactly what the meaning could be from them. I think that is why Jesus tells so many stories, because we can connect with them, but it challenges us to think on our own. The two parables today are almost fables, simple visions with a moral at the end, like the ant and the grasshopper. Do you remember how the ant and grasshopper goes? One bright day in late autumn, a family of ants was working about in the warm sunshine, drying out the grain they had stored up during the summer, when a starving grasshopper came along with his fiddle under his arm, and he came up to them and humbly begged for a bite to eat. "What?" cried the ants in surprise. "Haven't you stored anything away for the winter? What in the world have you been doing all summer?" "I didn't have time to store up food," whined the grasshopper. "I was so busy making music that before I knew it, the summer had passed me by." The ants shrugged their shoulders in disgust. "Making music, were you?" they cried. "Very well, then dance." And they turned their backs on the grasshopper and went on with their work. When the winter came, the grasshopper had no food and found itself dying of hunger. While he saw the ants every day eating the corn and grain that they had collected in the summer. Then the grasshopper knew it is best to be prepared for the days of need. Or how about the fable of the bald man that was and the bald man and the fly? Do you remember how that one goes? A fly bit a bald man who was trying to destroy it, and he gave himself a heavy slap on the head. Escaping, the fly said mockingly, "You have wished to revenge, even with death, the prick of a tiny insect. See what you have done to yourself to add insult to injury." The bald man replied, "I can easily make peace with myself because I know that no intention was to harm me. But you ill-favored and worthless insect who delights in sucking human blood, I wish that I could have killed you, even if I had caused myself great pain. It's better to know the harm you can cause yourself before you act hastily." So in today's gospel, Jesus asks, do you build a tower without first figuring the cost? It can be embarrassing if you don't. Then Jesus asks, do you go to war with figuring out if you have enough soldiers to win the battle? That can be deadly if you don't. Neither of these parables are long, but they are catchy. They make us think. We all can learn something from these parables. But are these only simple lessons teaching us to make sure we prepare? What is Jesus really trying to say? We have sayings like, well begun is half done, and such, but is Jesus really trying to say just that, to be prepared? Would there be something wrong if that was what Jesus was doing? I believe that these parables are really teaching us something about God. They are not simple stories with simple morals. They are more than just simple stories. These are stories that stand for us as a source of encouragement in our lives. Jesus asked if we would build a tower without first counting the cost and be able to finish it. I think he's asking this question. Jesus is telling us that God has not started the process of our salvation, and God has not begun rebuilding our relationship with him without first counting the cost. And no matter how much the cost, God is willing to pay it. Amazingly, this is what Jesus is teaching us and reminding us. Jesus, who is the one who is going to pay that price with his life. Jesus then asked if we would go into battle with an enemy without first counting the forces and discovering if we had enough soldiers to win. Here Jesus is teaching us that God has looked at this daily battle against the devil. the world, and our sinful selves. And he knows that he has enough to win, and he is counting on you and on me to help. God is counting on us helping as sin and death are defeated with grace and love, with care and with hope. Jesus has been calling out to the crowds who are around him, following his movements, and calling and challenging them to truly follow him in his ministry. He is trying to wake up the ones who think that following Jesus is like getting caught up in a fad. Following Jesus isn't like binge-watching Stranger Things on Netflix just because everyone else is doing it. It isn't like wearing bell-bottoms or beehive hairdos or raccoon coats. Following Jesus isn't something we do for a while and then move on to something else. Following Jesus means that God's love and God's will became our chief aim. Using statements not meant to be taken literally, Jesus talks again about hating family, carrying crosses, and abandoning possessions, because it may come to that. None of that is a required condition. It is not that we must be angry or hostile to our family or throw away all that we have, but if there is a conflict in life, our discipleship should take precedent. If following Jesus causes a rift with your parents, allow the rift. Love your parents and trust that God's love will work things out in the end. If following Jesus means that you must give up something, give it up for the gospel. Give it up. Service toward others always carries a completely different type of compensation. Jesus is telling us, with God by our side, we will have enough to make it through the difficulties of time. Jesus doesn't promise that there will be no difficulties in life, but promises instead that with God by our side, we can be sufficient. That's why he tells these stories. God has thought this through. God knows that he is willing to pay the cost, and with our assistance that we will defeat sin and the evils that it causes. It only takes a brief look at the paper or watching the news for less than a minute to know that we have a long way to go. Jesus is teaching us that God knows and God cares and God is with us. God knows there is a long way to go, and God is willing to walk it together with us. God knows it won't be easy, but is willing to provide guidance, strength, patience, and peace so that we will make it through the day. God knows the enemy we fight, and that enemy is us and the world, and the devil. And God knows that together we are sufficient. It may take time and effort, but we are sufficient. Not ourselves, not just us, but with God by our side. With the Holy Spirit leading and guiding, with the love of Christ giving strength and forgiveness, we are sufficient. All of us, all together with God. That is the beauty and power of these parables. God knows, and God is ready to move ahead with our salvation. Jesus continues his trip to Jerusalem and his suffering and death, his resurrection to new life, so that all this God has intended for us is now ours, freely and fully. Moses tells the Israelites to choose life. Jesus is calling us to choose life with Christ. If we are going to go with Christ into the world, we need to be ready for difficulty and joy. We need to be ready to help others and discover what our help in others means to God. We need to be ready to live as God has given us gifts to live. The promise is that God will be with us and through all these things in our lives. No matter how large or no matter how small these things may seem to us, we must know that in the end, God will win. Amen.
Please rise as we repeat the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We'll have the prayers of the church. As scattered grains of wheat are gathered together into one bread, so let us gather our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of God's good creation. We pray for the church around the world and for the mission of the gospel. Refresh the hearts of your people. Deepen our understanding of every good thing we share and strengthen our partnership in the faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
for the well-being of the earth and all its creatures, for the trees and forests, for all that we yield fruit this season, and for the streams and other bodies of water. Lord, in your mercy, for the nation and those in authority, for the elected leaders of our towns, states, and country, and for our international organizations, grant wisdom to those who govern and rise up citizens who make decisions in the best interest of their neighbors. Lord, in your mercy. For all in need, for those who suffer from disease, who struggle with homelessness or food insecurity, for those whose families' life is difficult, and for all in this community who need your care, Lord, in your mercy. This community of faith, for all of our labors, begun, continued, and ended in you, that they glorify your holy name, bless your people with the strength to live into their many vocations for the sake of the world. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for the saints who now rest from their labors. Give us faith like them to love you with all our hearts, and by your mercy, bring us to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. Gather together in the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, gracious God, we offer these and all our prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Please be seated.
Let us pray together. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth fruit from the earth and nourish our whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We will now say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's now say our closing prayer for today. God of all that is here and all that is beyond, stir our compassion, deepen our passion. May your grace be to us a drenching rain of new life. May your hope be with us like the rising sun. May we sense the living, moving, and stirring presence of your Spirit with us now. Call us to mission. Help us to answer your call. Amen.
As you can see, we made it through this with a few errors, but I'm sure God was looking down on us, and I'm praying that all of our meditation and all our hearts will go away in one accord. And I ask for God's forgiveness for the things that we overlooked and didn't do quite according to the way that we're accustomed to. And now then, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and grace and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now let's sing our sending song, Thrive.
Go into the world with hope to make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Like the sun, make darkness run.